Our next writer is also representing Menacing Hedge. She was an opera singer before, which I think is awesome. And that was another thing I was actually picturing was like Lou Reed meeting an opera singer because I was reading your bio ahead of time. And, oh, that would be interesting. I would like to introduce Ms. Pat Herschel.
After the shooting at the Seattle Jewish Federation, the Buddhist epigraph, "Kiss the earth with your feet." The feet want to pause on some grass, press down at moss, green surprises. The feet want to stop crude leather, want heels to rock back, sink down cold. The feet try to wait a minute, stumble like strangers skidding on the wet red floor. The feet are pushing inside a cloud, slow to twist, rush. They wait for planet signals. The feet want to touch pale ivory bristles, growing up tense under sunless, soft shuffles. The feet thump, thud, zigzag, lightning flashes inside root and sky holes, slashing. The feet need to caress the pull a little, slide like slow snails, sucking quiet bumps. The feet want to expand their arches, lift the dance, carve the air. Let the feet stop squeezing so they can float the feather, toe-clutch the flower, ignore each slippery, skittering, ridiculous, echoing stone. I'm reading four poems, by the way. Interpreters needed. At night, the poets listen to frogs who cannonade louder, hoarser, mimic what the planet will say next. It turns, turns. The trees strain and bend. The wells murmur, go drier. All the oceans clench their silvery fish so the fish can't fling themselves onto the banks to join us. As usual, the birds keep their flickering shorthand in the sky a secret. Nothing can spell out the darknesses we half memorize. The frogs mutter their oracle-like rhythms for answers, but poets are superstitious, too timid when marshes are croaking. In the daylight, we'd like to ask in clear, brash syllables if the planet can think out loud for us. But at night, when the moon blurs pale, we cover our ears, hunched down like frogs shutting out frogs. We're cautious, won't even peer like they do out of the corners of our eyes. All right. This third poem is an opera poem. I'm sorry about this, but there it is. And it has a little note, so for your kind of benefit, I wrote this note. In 1903, the Austrian composer Alban Berg's opera, Lulu, was inspired by Frank Wedekind's plays, Earth Spirit and Pandora's Box. Berg's amoral pre-World War I patriarchal heroine, adored and despised, is blamed for all the opera's male destructions and suicides. She is finally killed by Jack the Ripper. Your typical opera plot. opera singer blues. Sometimes I talk to Lulu. Oh, Lulu, I slipped inside you so easily. We were my first honest part. No billowing wigs, no rococo hoops to sashay around in. How I stared through our wide open mascarad eyes and felt your contemptuous, shrugging, naked shoulder my own, our legs crisscrossing openings inside slitted, skimpy skirts my own. It was you and me against everybody, just the two of us carried off in Berg's possessive, grating dissonances. We never cried once. Our histories cracked open in smoky wisps. We were silk, satin, slippery sweet, us and our salty body smells. Oh, Lulu, our slides into honey, our rises in the highest colorated molasses cajoling murmurs to the whispering countess who loved us. She was our secret. All our baritones and tenors stiffened, melted, groaning so richly in our arms. Their voices sang passions and a rage so loud in our ears we knew we were queen. Do you still feel the eyes crawling spidery all over our skin on the ways we walked along later, night lonesome in the streets until Jack, the throat slasher, came to get us? Oh, Lulu, oh, Lulu, oh, my now and my then. Now I don't sing your life anymore, but still I remember how we felt at the end, how we held our breath inside, all exposed on the darkening stage in that sudden blaze of light to the roaring, hand-clapping, foot-stamping, noisy enthusiasms as we listened and listened to the Lulu-mesmerized, murderous crowd. How about that? Well, I did have one more.
It's in there somewhere.
All right. Does everybody know what a fado is?
No.
It's a Portuguese, an ancient Portuguese poet form, often sung with guitar, and a long, beautiful lamentation. And now, in Portugal and elsewhere, a lot of poets use the fado. It sort of sets the tone, and they're very fun to try to write. After reading the translated poets in the Saudade Fado Anthology, which came out recently, I wrote this. It was before we won the election, so you'll have to excuse. Fado with no guitars. During the storms back east and the presidential election campaign in Seattle, October 2012. Here we're sick of laments. There, sly, sharp, the hurricane rolls leaves wild, howls questions, bent over trees, root at sly answers under cement, like the Republicans' smug coaxes, bark, peels, placid gnarls, knot, houses, sag. whatever throat aches to mourn in tune with a crying instrument stops. Only the sky's vague clouds can still grumble, puff, hunch their bad weather promises over our northwest heads, say, not here. The clouds yawn boring gray creams in the west, endless tired openings stay high and away with no echoes. We wait for a desolate cry, but our ears are empty as sky. Jolly bland trees, a bronzed mountain looks doleful. We're tired of all our apps telling us what to watch, when to read, how to make out new spellings. Our thumbs almost stop tapping. If only we could still hear an old fado's throat embrace, the ancient fado's sibilance to caress what's ahead. Some song to rise up, hover over everybody's beige resignations. We imagine an old sun starting to burn cold, colorless. No more oranges, purples, blues and yellows, reds dance flashing for comfort. Here, nothing sears. Our throats caw. No use, no use. We've forgotten the old melodies. Thank you.